I want you to open up your Bible app after you're done, or if you have a real Bible, I have both, so we're all together. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 is what we're going to study and look at tonight. Go ahead, you're fine right now. Share it. Share away. I'm all about the sharing, all right? While you're getting all that together, remember Luke chapter 24. Of course, they'll put the scripture on the screen for you. It's really great to see everybody tonight. Awesome to see you guys. I love you guys. It's awesome that you're here. I believe I've got a word for you to stir you and encourage you and build you up. And I believe that God wants to do some things in here tonight. Amen. So how many of you, while I'm getting into this, how many of you have ever ordered something that needed to be assembled? You got it. You assembled it. You had your instruction guide that had a photo of what you were putting together. And when you finished assembling it, you looked at it, stood back at it, admired it. Man, that looks great. I did a great job. Then you happen to compare it to the picture, and you go, oh, man. And you realize that there was one thing wrong. One thing wrong, and you had to disassemble a couple pieces to get it fixed, but you know you have to have it right. This happened to me the other day. I'd ordered a simple little weight bench for my son to do some weights in our garage. And I had the legs on opposite, all right? And so it wouldn't roll correctly, and I was just, it took me about 35 minutes, and we have a cat now. Y'all know that that's a miracle for us to have a cat. If you've heard me preach before, I've had plenty of stories about the cat, none of them positive. All right, so we love this cat, but this cat was swiping and knocking every screw and every, you know, everything away, so it took extra long. So I'm looking at this, I'm just aggravated, I'm like, dear God, but I had to get it right. So I disassemble it, reassemble it, and it's correct. It's because I missed one step. One step I missed caused me to put it together wrong, all right, even though I had the instructions. And I can't tell you how many times believers have missed, even though they have the instructions, one step that made what they, you know, that made all the difference in the world for what they were believing God for and what they were studying, what they were, you know, seeking, but they had missed one thing. And so tonight, I'm going to pull something out that I think a lot of times we miss. This one step when it comes to our faith and our walk and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish and doing what God's called us to do, and it's very, very important. So we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke tonight, and we're going to share what I have on my heart. Luke is the third Gospel, and we're going to start in verse 44 of chapter 24, all right? We're going to read through this, and I'll kind of break out a little bit and share as we go through it. Verse 44. Then he said, Jesus, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, all right? I've always found this very interesting because some of the coolest parts of the Old Testament, when you read through the Old Testament, is what's actually written about Jesus before he ever showed up. I've always thought that was cool. Even when I was a kid and we'd go over that in Sunday school classes, I thought, how cool was that, that before Jesus even showed up, they talked about Jesus. They spoke about Jesus. You know, they referenced Jesus. A lot of prophetic things about Jesus. All right? But notice where he said it's found about him in the law. Like when Moses gave the instructions on Passover night to kill that lamb. And what he was talking about here was Jesus. And he said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. And you've got to do everything. He says, all this was going on here. All right? That's who he's referencing. Micah had even referenced Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. So many cool things talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. Verse 44. Then the Psalms must be fulfilled. Verse 45. And he opened up their minds to understand the scripture. I love that too because there's an awesome lesson for every single one of us here. When we read the Bible, unless the Holy Spirit, unless Jesus opens our minds, we're not going to fully understand what he's speaking. This isn't a book that you read like any other book. This isn't a book like you read a novel. It isn't a book like you read fiction or nonfiction or a biography. This book is alive. This book is living. And so when you read this book, all right, you can have a PhD, you can have a high IQ. What's a good score on an SAT? I wouldn't know because I didn't get one. But you can have a high score on an SAT, ACT, and it don't matter, all right? You could know math like Stradwick over there. It doesn't matter, all right? Doesn't matter. That's not what helps you understand this book because this book is not simply read and understood like any other book. No, this book is revealed. God reveals this. And so anytime you read this book, it's always wise, always important for you to take just a moment and say a quick prayer. Lord, open my eyes so I can fully understand what it is you are speaking. Open my heart, open my ears, because I don't want to just read this book. I want to understand what you're saying to me. It's so important. I've gotten busy before where I've cracked the Bible open. I've just started busting through it and reading, and I realized halfway through, I'm not getting any of this. I'm reading it, but I'm not getting it. And you know what I do every single time? I take a moment and I pray. And every time I pray, God will open and enlighten, and then I'll start to receive, all right? It's never good to just rush into it. Always take just that split second, that little moment, and pray. Lord, open my heart and teach me your word, all right? Give me insight. It doesn't come by education, it comes by revelation, all right? Verse 46, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and he would die and rise from the dead on the third day. Now keep in mind here that Jesus, he's risen from the dead and now he's appeared to his disciples and he's about to leave them. He's about to ascend back to heaven. And these are really his last words that Luke has recorded here. These are his final words to his disciples before he ascends up, and this is important. And continues on, verse 47, it was also written that this message, what message? What message is he talking about? The gospel. That's what he's referencing. The gospel would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in where? Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? What's important about Jerusalem? I'll tell you what's important. That's where they were. That's really that simple. Why start in Jerusalem? Because that's where they are, that's where they were. Whenever you want to do the work of the Lord and you want to do something great for God, start where you're at. All right? It's great to have these big lofty dreams about China and India and, you know, Alabama. I don't know. Anywhere else, all right? But Africa, think about it. Start right where you're at. Eastern Kentucky, Southern Ohio, here in West Virginia, Barbersville, Ona, Milton area, Huntington, West End. Okay, wherever it is that you live, out Wayne, start where you're at. Let God use you right here, right now, all right? Don't think about, well, when I get out, no, when I do this and when I go, no, start where you're at. Start right here, right now, amen? So he says, this is the message. What's this message? He said that there will be forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That's the message, that there would be forgiveness of sins for all who repent, that there's mercy, that there's new life in Jesus Christ and what he did. Jesus called everyone to repent. And listen, this isn't just believe in Jesus. This is believe in Jesus and repent, all right? It's both. If you take out the repentance here, all right, repentance means to turn away from the old way of living. It means to completely change, all right? It's not just, I'm sorry, God. I feel bad. No, it means I change what I do. I don't do that. I don't repeat the sin. I don't repeat the lies or the mistakes or whatever anymore, okay? It means to turn away from that way that you're living, whether it was self-gratifying, whatever it is that was against God's word, it means to turn away from that and to start to live God's way, all right? So it's repent and believe. It's not just repent, and it's not just believe in Jesus, all right? It's not just believe in Jesus. It's repent. Everybody say repent and believe. All right, it's both of those. Otherwise, what you end up is you have people playing freeze tag with, you know, religion, and they're always repenting, but because they've not believed in Jesus, they're never getting any relief. What's the point of repenting if you never feel the peace of God afterwards? It's not just repent. It's not just stop living bad. It's repent and believe. Get Jesus in your life. Get that passion, that joy, that peace, everything and everything that Jesus wants for you. Get that in. So you got to believe in Jesus. And also that means, you know, people who don't really believe in Jesus, who always repent, they get stuck in a cycle of just repenting over and over and over again. Some of us may have been in that cycle before. All right. So it's repent and believe in Jesus. And then, you know, they get into you get preachers who just preach on what everybody does wrong. And it's a real bad cycle, right? But the other side of that is if you just preach Jesus with no repentance, then what you end up is you have a bunch of people who talk Jesus and they talk Holy Spirit, but yet they still live in sin, all right? And so they've got a great talk and they worship great on Sundays, but they live any way they want to Monday through Saturday. Doesn't make a bit of difference, all right? And that's a problem too, never convicted, all right? So that means that the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, has never completely cut, between the spirit and the soul there, all right? Have never divided that. And so the message is repent and believe in Jesus. Do you all get that? I think I've hammered this enough. We should understand that. And it's so important today. It's so important today that we both repent and believe in Jesus, because we live in a day in a culture of extremes where, first of all, you've got a lot of people. One extreme is they play it safe. They're afraid to confront anything that's really sin. All right? They're afraid of confrontation. They're afraid of tension. And so what ends up happening is people tiptoe around nasty lifestyles. And then they preach love as if love is embracing and it's accepting. And God will never endorse or approve sin. He will never endorse nor approve sin. It's not in the Word. All right? And so if that version of love means that I approve and endorse your sinful lifestyle, that's not love. It's definitely not God's love. And you've got an extreme there right now that people feel like they can do whatever they want and still love God the way that he's teaching here. And that's not how this works. It'll never work this way. It's a problem here. And so you've got these extremes where this is working. And then you've got, it's like when I see people swaying in worship, and there's sometimes I think, man, that's an idea. That's a perfect image of what they're doing, swaying during the worship service. But what's really taking place is one day they're swaying in the kingdom of God, the next day they're swaying right out. That's my way my mind works. I apologize for that. But anyway, but they're living according to their own rules, their own standards. They're doing what they feel like they're doing. All right. And I wrote this down because I had this thought this afternoon. All right. Anytime anyone comes to you and says, I need help, I am struggling, all right? I am struggling and I need help. You show mercy to them the moment that they say this, the moment that they say, listen, I'm struggling and I know it's wrong, all right? You immediately show someone like that mercy, immediately, because they're repentant in their heart. There's a conviction. That means the Holy Spirit has already begun to work in their heart. The moment they say, I know it's wrong. I've got to change this. This is a problem. This is an issue. This is a sin. This is a struggle in my life. The moment someone comes to that, you should be, as a believer, you and I should immediately show mercy. No strings attached, no holds, everything, all right? We just love them, and we help them, and we encourage them right away because they're revealing there's something wrong. God's at work there. But when you've got somebody who comes to you and says, listen, I believe in Jesus, and I need a little bit of help here, but they don't admit anything's wrong, and the moment you point out from Scripture, listen, the Bible says that this is wrong. What? No. The Bible doesn't say that. No, this is not me talking. This is the Word of God here. Yeah, but you don't know what I've gone through, and God loves me, and God wouldn't have done this in my life if he didn't want this for me, and that's not how I interpret it, and that's not what I believe. And then next thing you know, you have somebody who wants to live the way they want to live outside of what God's Word says, in complete disobedience, and they want everybody else to approve it. There's a big difference between showing some mercy to somebody who is repentant in their heart, convicted of their sin, and they are saying, I've got something wrong in my life. Please, Jesus, I need help. And then someone who says, I want you to pat me on the back and tell me everything's okay, and I keep doing what I want to do. And honestly, that's a lot of what we're seeing in the kingdom of God right now. It's a lot of what we're seeing in this culture right now. Okay, how many get what I'm talking about? Lift your hand. Let me see. All right? And so this has happened. And listen, you can even look at polls across the United States. I study polls and church governments, all kinds of things. I'm kind of a nerd with that. And a lot of the polls say that there are so many more people now who go to church that don't live any different than the people who don't go to church. And that's caused a big issue. All right? And in many cases, that's just the truth. Okay? Why? It's because repentance never happened. They didn't really change, You repent and you believe. Here it comes. The moment you repent, guess what? Blood of Jesus comes. Covers your sin, all right? That's what repentance matters so much. It's not just believe in Jesus. It's repent. If we confess our sins, the Bible teaches what? He's faithful and just to forgive, all right? So it's repent and believe. Our part is to confess. God's part is to forgive and to cleanse, all right? Anyway, the moment and the minute you start to justify sin is the moment and the minute that you step completely out of God's will. The moment you try to justify your sin and you're trying to get God to approve and endorse a sin in your life, a lot of the political correct way to say it now is a bad habit. Your bad habits, it's sin. Let's just be honest, all right? The moment you do that, you are inviting the enemy to invade and destruct, bring destruction into your life, all right? Verse 48, that was a rabbit trail, but I wanted to take it. Verse 48, so we read, and you are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father has promised. But again, stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. All right? So Jesus says, so I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So who sends the Holy Spirit? Jesus does. But who promised it? The Father. All right? Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, but the Father promised all the way back in the Old Testament even, all right? What was it? There will come a day when I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. The prophet Joel said, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. All kinds of wonderful supernatural things are going to take place in and through your life. And it's all going to come because the Holy Spirit has come into your life. All right? That was the promise of God after Jesus had accomplished what he did on the cross. Verse 49, and then he ascended so that he could send the promise of the Father. But he said, stay here in the city. What city? Jerusalem. Till the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. I've always found this interesting because here you got Luke. Luke picks this up. All right, he continues on in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is where they gather somewhere in Jerusalem in the upper room, probably near the temple, very likely near the temple. But he says that when Jesus left, they went back to Jerusalem. And according to this, they're always praising God, always rejoicing in the temple, all right? And at this point, they had moved beyond the temple because they've come to the revelation, you know, that those sacrifices that they were doing in the temple don't mean anything because now we've had the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for all. All right, so they're really praising God. They're stirred up here. The Bible says they continued to meet together, gather what they could from psalms and from singing and worshiping and praising God. And then they got separated to the upper room. And then, of course, if you know the story in the book of Acts, that's where the church was really born when the Holy Spirit was poured out that day, came, they filled them all and began to control them in a brand new way, okay? I want you to take a quick moment and turn to Ephesians 5 because I'm going to tie a couple things together while we're sharing, and then I'm going to, you know, really roll it all at where it makes sense at the very end here, okay? Ephesians 5. So we've taught from Ephesians 5 here at New Life Church for 34 years, all right? Pastor has, I have, other ministers have, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out now. And when we pull out Ephesians 5, there's always been a lot of hot and fresh, just like Krispy Kreme donuts, hot and fresh truth dropped on you guys, revelation about this passage, okay? But there's a lot that I wanted to cover tonight, just maybe it's a repetition, maybe you've heard this before, but I wanted to emphasize a couple things. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means this, come under control of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control, determine, dictate how you live your life. Somebody say amen. All right? Now, had these thoughts. When we say be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. I come to realize today that I think visually, all right? When you start telling a story, I picture it. I'm a very visual learner. That's how I'm wired. And maybe there's some of you that are like that as well, okay? But the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. So oftentimes when we're imagining the Holy Spirit being filled, we're kind of imagining just like this bottle is being filled, the Holy Spirit being a liquid, being poured in, and then it overflows. And that's not the most accurate way to describe the Holy Spirit being poured out here, all right? Because the Holy Spirit is not a liquid. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, every bit as much as Jesus, all right? Since the Holy Spirit is a person, then what would it mean to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit? How does that look like? What does that look like? How does that work, all right? Well, what I've got here is what it means this, right? In Ephesians 5, when they said don't be filled with wine, is what they mean, don't be filled with excess, or in other words, don't be controlled by that wine. Don't be controlled by what the world is offering. Don't be controlled. Don't let what is inside you control you. All right? Don't be controlled by that outside substance. Be controlled by the Spirit. All right? For example, when somebody is filled with that wine, then what's happening? They're drunk and they're being controlled by what they're filled with. All right? When somebody is, you know, we'll say they're filled with anger, does it mean that they're just filled with anger? Well, no, they're filled with all kinds of things. All right? They're not filled with solid anger, all right? They're still filled with their organs and their, you know, if they're me and Steve Parsons, Oscar's Burgers, all right? You're filled with all kinds of stuff, all right? Your blood and everything else. So it's not what it means. It means they're being controlled by their anger. Their anger is controlling them. You tracking with me? You following me here, okay? And so when someone says, you know, like, he's full of jealousy, or she's full of jealousy, or they're full of rage, or they filled with rage, what does it mean? It means they're being controlled. They're being controlled by that rage, being controlled by that anger, being controlled by that jealousy. It's determining how they treat people or what they're thinking and all these things going on inside them. And so the Bible here says, be filled with the Spirit. And what it's speaking about is being controlled, letting the Holy Spirit control you every single day. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a robot or a puppet and he dominates and determines. No, it means you are allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. You're letting the Holy Spirit prioritize in your life the words you say, the way you treat people, how you live. Let the Holy Spirit control you, all right? I wrote three things that this means, and I'm going to go through these quickly. Verse 18, number one, it says this, be filled with the Spirit, don't be filled with the wine, the things of this world. All right, the things of this world may lift you up, it may free you temporarily, but guess what? They're always going to lead towards negative things. They're not going to lead you towards positive things, all right? But be filled with the Spirit. In other words, find your joy, find your strength, find what controls, what drives, what directs, what guides you. Find that not through a bottle, not through a drug, not through a club, not through some stuff, all right? Find that in and through the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it means to be filled. It means to let the Holy Spirit control you. All right, so the first thing we learn here is that this is a continuous tense. It's a present tense. In other words, it's literally being filled. Stay controlled. All right? This is not just you get controlled on Wednesday and you're good the rest of the week. No, it's a continuous, every single day, I want to stay controlled. In other words, I want to have a new experience with the Holy Spirit of God every single day of my life. I don't want to settle for just Sunday. I don't want to settle for just a midweek worship. I want this every day. That's why in Acts chapter 4, you could read this on your own, verses like starts around verses 23 or so all the way through. The same apostles who were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit and had that Pentecost experience where tongues of fire sat on their head, that's why the same people who experienced that in Acts 2 were filled again in Acts chapter 4. When you look at this, and again, if we had time, we take a little bit longer and go through it, okay? If they were just filled weeks before, why do they need to be filled again? If you read the Bible, right? This is in there. You could have read it for yourself, all right? It doesn't make sense. Why were they filled again? Weeks before. I love what D.L. Moody, if you don't know who D.L. Moody is, great evangelist back in the late 1800s, all right? Well before our time, but he has such a great quote. Somebody asked him one time, they said, Why do you keep talking about being filled over and over and over again? And you know what his response was? He said, the reason why I do is because I leak. I thought, man, that was great. He said, I have a problem. I leak. Right? When he said that, it made sense. In other words, I get filled, but it drains out. All right? And so I should stay filled because I want to be fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. But we've all lived and gone through this before. Life happens. All right, we go through difficult things at work, we go through difficult things in relationships, we deal with stresses, we've got major decisions we've got to make, we've got money that we've got to raise, bills that we've got paid off, some bills that were supposed to get paid off last week that didn't get paid. All these things taking place in our life, and through this we get distracted, the cares start weighing us down, life happens, you know, enemy attacks. What ends up happening is we lose touch of God on our soul and we stop seeking the Holy Spirit every single day. And so the next thing you know, on a Sunday you were seeking the Holy Spirit, felt the fresh anointing, left here controlled by the Holy Spirit. Monday, didn't seek. Tuesday, didn't seek. By the time you get to Wednesday, you are dry and empty. Thank God for midweek worship. You came to worship. Now you're getting stirred up again. We have a great service. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, same thing. Busy, life, work, kids, whatever it may be, and you don't seek the Holy Spirit. And so many of us live this way. This is how we live. Church is a substitute for everything, all right? It's a supplement for what the Bible is teaching us should be a daily pursuit for every single believer. And so he's saying, listen, you've got to pay attention to this. This is present tense. So that tells me that I can, tonight and tomorrow night and Friday night, can have a fresh experience and a fresh filling with the Holy Spirit. This is not just for church services. This is for every single day. This is every single day, all right? Everybody who wants a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit every single day, somebody say amen in here. Because at some point, we've got to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, all right? Number two, we find out that it's also in a passive mood, all right? And when I say by passive mood, I mean this. In order for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be exhilarated, all right? You don't have to be all jacked up and amped up. It doesn't have to be some frenzy, all right? I'm not the one doing the change. The Holy Spirit's the one doing the change. I simply have to be in a position to receive. That's what this means here, okay? I don't do anything but allow the Holy Spirit to pour into me. I simply need to receive, all right? So you place yourself in a position to receive. That's what this is talking about. The Spirit comes. I don't have to work it up. I don't have to be in a frenzy. I don't need the worship team amping and jack, you know, going crazy and building up. And I don't need the drums. It's great to have all that. And if we've got that in a church, we'll do it. But you don't need that at home to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't. And if you ever think you do, that's a problem. Because then you're only going to have that encounter and that experience in a moment like this. But you and I, we've got to get to a place where we're in the middle of the, you know, of the intersection driving our cars, and we realize, I'm not being controlled by the Holy Spirit right now. All right? Whatever it may be. And in that moment, you keep your eyes open with your hands on the wheel, and you say, Holy Spirit, I invite you and welcome you into my car, upon and in me right now. I receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Help control my words, my thoughts, the way I see, the way I treat. I receive it all right now in Jesus' name. All right? So it's a passive mood. In other words, I don't have to work it up in order to receive. I just needed to be in a position to allow the Holy Spirit to pour into me, okay? Third, it's imperative mode. When I say imperative mode, what I mean is this is not a suggestion. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. It's actually a term, when you dig into it, it's a term that would be used by generals, all right, in military. Things like, you know, halt, turn right, attack, whatever. It is a command, something that you're not giving the choice. It's something that God is commanding us that, hey, listen, I'm telling you right now that if you're going to live for me the way I want you to live, and if you're going to do for me the things I want you to do, you've got to stay filled and stay controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is something that I'm commanding you to do in your life in order to be used by God in the most effective and efficient way, okay? It's a command. And so now, going back to Luke here, we're learning that as Jesus is leaving, Luke here, and Luke was different than the rest of Jesus' followers, okay? Luke was Greek, he was a physician, and so he did a lot of research, and he's pursued Jesus uniquely, so he's different than Matthew and Mark and John, okay? And so he's telling us now, Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he says, so Jesus speaking, he says, you know, this message of repentance and this forgiveness and all this that I did on the cross, all right? This is Luke's perspective. He's saying, Jesus is telling us, you got the message, all right? You're my followers, I'm with you, I won't ever leave you, but even though I'm with you, and even though you've got my message, and even though you were with me, and I taught you, and you heard, even though all these things took place, all right, don't step out yet until you're filled with the Spirit. I want to use you, you're going to be used, but again, I need you to wait. I need you to wait. So wait in Jerusalem. Of course, the Bible says they go back to Jerusalem. They wait. They're singing. They're praising God. And it was very, you know, just like what happened in Acts 2. It happened. And so they're saying, listen, intellectually, you've got the right message. You've got the right doctrine. You've got the right theology. You've got the right passion. You've got all these things going on, okay? But still yet, you are not going to be able to live out this Christian life the way you're supposed to. You're not going to be able to have the influence and the victory that you're supposed to have without being filled with the Spirit. This is what Jesus is telling them. He's saying, listen, you were with me, you saw the miracles, and even still, I'm leaving, and when I leave, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. You wait. You wait on Him. because that's going to be everything. That's going to be the difference maker. It's not going to be like it was with me. It's going to be even greater. Because right now, since I'm here in person, I can't be everywhere at once. But when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you and be with you and be with you and be with you. He's going to be in Kentucky. He's going to be in Ohio. He's going to be here in West Virginia. And so Jesus is saying, wait, wait. This is very important. This is his message to us, okay? It's interesting that Jesus, when he was on earth, the Bible says in Luke 5, it says, so miracles were happening around verse 15. Miracles are happening, and Jesus' name was being spread abroad. I think I told you guys about this scripture. Put the scripture on, verse 15, okay? His power spread even faster. Crowds were coming to hear him to preach and being healed. All these things are taking place right now. There's this huge, mass excitement around for Jesus. But look in verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for what? Prayer. He withdrew. He's got everything you'd ever want in a ministry. He's got the crowds. He's got the miracles. He's got the people. He's got the attention. People are sharing it on Facebook. They're tweeting about Jesus. Hashtag miracle man. Whatever. Everything's taking place. But Jesus still, verse 16, took time to what? Withdraw to pray. He saw the value of getting in his personal private time with his heavenly Father, get into the presence of God. And look at verse 17. And the Bible says this, and the power of God, look on the end, was strong to heal with Jesus. God's healing power was strong with Jesus. And when you follow, if you track with his life, as he's sharing with his disciples, as he spent time with the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit kept coming on him and on him and on him to equip him and make him able to see these miracles and do these things. And what's interesting for Jesus, all right, Jesus didn't do these miracles depending on his divinity. He didn't work these miracles because he was Jesus, the Son of God. He was working these miracles because he was Jesus, a man anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he's working these miracles. Totally God, but totally man. And he lived his life completely dependent on the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that you and I are completely dependent on. And in the same way, how many want to really make a difference and be a blessing in this life? I know I do. Then we've got to do it the same way Jesus did it. We've got to stay filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can read through Scripture, all right? You can read through Scripture. Was it Luke 3 and Luke's account? Where Jesus didn't even begin his ministry until he was baptized in the Jordan River. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, ascended like in the form of a dove. Jesus didn't begin, not one miracle. Not one miracle until he was anointed by God and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's right there. That's when he began to minister. That's when he began to work. All right? And Jesus doing it. And he's telling us, listen, he's dependent on the same Holy Spirit that we are. All right? And now these disciples are being told by Jesus. And Luke's recording this. You've got everything that's right, okay? You've got the right message. You've got the passion. You've got the zeal. You've seen the miracles, all right? You've seen and been part of everything I've done on this earth in my ministry. But you've got to wait. You wait until you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because once you're filled with my Holy Spirit that I'm sending you, then he'll begin to control you. Then you'll begin to be guided and directed and led. And then you'll begin to see this power. And he tells us the more control you yield and you give him, the more depth. In other words, the more fullness, the more it repeats. All right, it's hard to use this word because the Holy Spirit's God. All right, and so he's saying the more the Holy Spirit controls Josh Huffman, the more Josh Huffman gets used by God. So Josh needs to learn to stay filled, stay controlled by the Holy Spirit every single day. All right? So I can really be and do what he's called me to do and who he's called me to be. And so Jesus quietly praying in a mountain someplace, and you know, I don't know what he felt and I don't know what he was feeling in that moment. I just know this, that when he withdrew in that time to pray, when there was a time for ministry and miracles, boom, the Holy Spirit was there. It's because he had taken time, that quiet time, to keep himself filled with the Spirit so that he would stay controlled. So that the power would be there when he needed it. So when miracles needed to take place and people were crying out for his help and people were saying, have mercy on me, and blind eyes were showing up, he was anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit so those miracles could happen. And this is what we read, and this is what Jesus is sharing with us. He's saying, listen, I want you pursuing the presence of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit in a church service setting. But the greater good is not what takes place in here. This is the equipping. This is the equipping. Most of the darkness is outside of these walls, out of those doors. That's where the sick people are. That's where the lost are. And so you can't just depend. This is important. Be in church. Get stirred up. Get filled with the Word of God. Be encouraged. It's very important. But you better make sure that you are staying filled, controlled with the Holy Spirit, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, for yourself. You've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, every single day. And more we're controlled and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, the more of the power of God, that supernatural power, is released. What kind of power? Gifts of the Spirit manifesting, power of words, the power to love people. Listen, we want to get a lot of people filled with the Spirit. We want people speaking in tongues. Neither one of my parents were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues in a church service. They were both, my mom at a tennis court and my dad at my Aunt Sharon's house, the house my mom grew up in. It's because they had a word from God and they got hungry. All right? You know what? You want to know what I believe in God for this church? Honestly, I believe in God that we have more people getting filled with the Spirit outside these four walls than we do in. Oh, that rubbed you wrong. I know it. You're like, what? No. Yeah. It's because whenever you leave this place, I want you so filled with the Holy Spirit that everywhere you go, from east, north, west, south, everywhere you go, people are getting stirred and touched by God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, oh, you wait. It's worth the wait. You can go on your own, but it's worth the wait. It's worth it. Just keep waiting, okay? This is so important. I've always loved that Jesus. So have you ever thought about the people who he's talking to? All right, the disciples here? All right, he's telling them to go into Jerusalem, wait on me, okay? What a bunch of losers. Seriously, these guys, literally, first of all, they're fishermen, so they're poor, tax collectors, so people hate them, okay? All this is going on. Jesus, while he's being crucified, they had just fled and deserted him, okay? That's not good. All this is taking place, and Jesus is telling them, listen, I'm going to use you in such a powerful way, it's going to turn this world upside down. I've always thought, Jesus is telling Peter this, and Peter denied him three times. You deny me three times, I'm like, peace. I'm out. I'm unfriending you on Facebook, okay? Not Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to use you in a spectacular way, but just wait. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to be the same person. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. That is awesome what he did and how he used these people, okay? You want to know what the biggest issue in the church is in 2019? You really want to know? I'll tell you. It's that we're trying to do the work of God without being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're trying to do God's work without the Holy Spirit's involvement. That is the biggest problem that we're facing right now. And Jesus himself said, let me tell you something. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. It's so important that you need to wait. It's so important that after you get filled, you stay filled, all right? You keep being filled, all right? You stay controlled by the Holy Spirit, because if you're going to be used by me, this world is not happy. This world is sad. This world is angry. This world is evil. This world is dark, and the Holy Spirit is going to be the difference. That's why you're going to make it. That's why you're going to overcome. It's because you're going to have a power that comes straight from heaven, a power that can't be replicated, duplicated, anything about it, okay? Can be emulated or copied on this earth. It comes straight from God himself. And he said, if you're going to be my followers, this is how you're going to live. This is how you're going to work. This is how you're going to overcome. You're going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. All right? Listen, you and I would have thought that these disciples, you'd have thought that after seeing Jesus raised from the dead, you know, they're filling the holes in his arms and the side and the scars on his forehead from the crown of thorns, all this going on. You'd have thought, you know, these guys are ready to just, you know, headbutt through cinder block walls for Jesus, all right? We're ready, just bring it on. We're ready to take this gospel and go. But even still yet, Jesus said, listen, you're going to take this gospel. You've got it. You've got the message. But you wait because you need the power. And this is so important. This is so important. This is that step that so many of us skip. And when we get to the bench that we thought we had built correctly, we go, what did I miss here? This is it. We're doing the Lord's work, but we're trying to do it on our own power, our own ability. And it requires, Jesus said, demands the Holy Spirit for you to do it the way God wants you to do it. He says, this is something that every single one of us have to have, all right? This is also why, I got a few more minutes here. This is also why it's so important how we treat the Holy Spirit, all right? So Jesus was teaching, and he said this. I can't remember. This is a little out of my notes, but he said, I think it's around Luke 12. He said, listen, you can talk about me, okay? You can speak negatively against me. You can walk away from me. You can talk about the Father. You can smack talk the Father, okay? But don't you dare say a word about the Holy Spirit. I've always thought that was so powerful. This is Jesus talking. This isn't your crazy uncle at a family reunion talking. This is Jesus, okay? He's saying, listen, you pay attention to you can sin against me, you can sin against the Father, but don't you dare blaspheme and sin against the Holy Spirit, because that is a no-no, all right? He said, everything else can be forgiven. Everything else we can work with. But you start talking nasty about the Holy Spirit, we've got problems. And so I've always wondered about, what is he talking about? Why is it so important? Okay? It's because as a believer, everything we do depends on the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Everything. It all comes down to that, which means don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, listen, when we start grieving the Holy Spirit, not only are we resisting what God's wanting to do in and through us, but we're stamping, we're trampling on the work of God in our lives. And so Jesus gave us this warning. I mean, this is heavy stuff, right? He's saying, take this seriously. Don't play games with this stuff here, all right? He's saying, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench His movings, all right? Be open. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, all right? You can't grieve water. Talking about water being poured and filled, all right? You can't aggravate water. You can't make water sad. But you can the Holy Spirit. You can grieve. How many of you, let's just be super transparent for just a few more minutes, and we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to move in here. How many of you have had those moments where you, after you did something, you felt it, you grieved the Holy Spirit? I have. All right? I have. I've had those moments when, oh my God, why did I do that? Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me of that. I've had those moments, all right? And in those moments, listen, it's not your conscience, all right? It's not that kind of conscious pain. It's like this deep spiritual pain where there's a grieving in you. Is the conviction and the conscious pain, that's a different kind of pain. That's a whole nother message, all right? But that's why we honor the work of God. We honor the move of the Holy Spirit. We don't in any way be cautious about how we talk and refer to the Holy Spirit, all right? We don't want to in any way grieve. Listen, when I speak at different camps and see these different guys and different churches and all these different things, and Dad sees it even more than I do, you know, you see some people and the way they treat the Holy Spirit, and just so they joke about it, and I look at them and I just, oh man, it breaks my heart. And let me tell you something. Here at New Life Church, we are going to honor the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because let me tell you something. Jesus said it's the most important thing once I leave. That's it. That you as a believer, once your heart and once your life is you're following Jesus, the most important thing is for you to stay controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, to stay filled and allow that fresh filling every single day to change and determine and guide how you live this life. This is the work, this is the Word of God here, okay? Listen, I want people when they come to this church to have such an encounter with God and the Holy Spirit that they leave and they go, Pastor Josh something, okay, whatever his name was, new something church, that's where we went. But what was unmistakable was God's presence was there. And I mean that with everything in me, that they had an encounter with Almighty God, that they felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us, Paul again repeated it in Ephesians. He said, let me tell you something. You stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now Jesus said, wait, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. And a lot of people say, well, why, if they had to wait back then, if the Holy Spirit's already been poured out, or why are we waiting again now? Why are we, you know, if the Holy Spirit's here, what are we waiting on? Well, let me explain that to you, okay? It's not that we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out again. A lot of times it's we're waiting on God to get us in a position where we can receive the right way from the Holy Spirit. Because guess what separates us from God? Sin, pride, all kinds of things. So a lot of times, God, what we're waiting on is for God to get our hearts prepared so that we can fully receive. All right? That's what we're waiting on. It's not for another Pentecost. No, the Holy Spirit's here. But we've got to make sure we're in a position to receive. And so he emphasizes, stay filled with the Holy Spirit.